back to Matthew, back to the gospel. You know, we've been on a journey now for over a year, trying to rediscover the power, the passion, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talk about it, we preach about it, but we get to where that we just throw Jesus into our sermons as an afterthought. And I felt convicted over a year and a half ago to get back to the gospel, to get back to the message, the convicting message that Jesus preached, that John the Baptist preached, that his apostles preached, and that great men and women of God have been preaching, until that when I preach it, I feel it. And I know that if I feel it when I preach it, I know that you'll feel it when you hear it.
Amen.
And so the title of our message today is Enough is Enough. And I know you've been wanting to say this to your spouse anyway, so look at your spouse and say, enough is enough. Praise the Lord. I don't know, that's been coming on to you. And this message is going to be mingled with current events. And I have been holding off getting back into Matthew because, you know, we're getting into Matthew 24. And pestilences and divers places and earthquakes. And Sister Linda's been chomping at the bits for me to get into Matthew 24. And you might change your mind after today. And you might change your mind over the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks. You might be thinking, oh, I didn't think he was going to go there with that. And that kind of left my eyebrows singed. And I don't really know what we're going to get into. I've been holding off on it because I feel like Matthew 24 is so immense and so huge that I could just get swallowed up into it and lost into it like a black hole. But I'm looking forward to what God is going to reveal. And so we dive back in today with the title of this message, Enough is Enough. A Los Angeles pastor is suing California over coronavirus lockdown. He says, and I quote, enough is enough. In defiance of Governor Newsom, the pastor says, we will remain open and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor John MacArthur says he began holding services in the form of peaceful protest at Grace Community Church in Los Angeles County despite being warned he faced fines or arrest. He said, we feel like we are the most essential reality in the world. He said, look, Jesus is Lord. He is the head of our church. Governor Newsom is not the head of the church. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti is not the head of the church. And so at the end of July, the County of Los Angeles sent a demand letter to MacArthur, which Attorney Jason Tocoro called for the church to immediately cease holding indoor worship services or face criminal and civil liability. The church called the restrictions onerous. And they said, after Grace Community Church voluntarily complied with state orders, for nearly 6 months, California's edicts demanding an indefinite shutdown have gone now far past rational or reasonable and are firmly in the territory of tyranny and discrimination. This isn't about health, it's about blatantly targeting churches. And I say it's always been. That's my personal opinion. And he goes on and he says, when many went to the streets to engage in political protest, quote unquote, against racism, quote unquote, and quote unquote police brutality, these protesters refused to comply with the pandemic restrictions. And instead of enforcing the public health orders, public officials were all too eager to grant a de facto exception for these favored protesters, their lawsuit says, in part. We are simply continuing to do today what we have done for the past 63 years, that Grace Community Church has been open to welcome the Los Angeles community and serve their spiritual needs. we will remain open and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who decide they want to come and worship with us. Enough is enough. I say it's time for this message to come today, wouldn't you? As have all the messages that the Lord has given to us throughout this pandemic. And I realize that COVID has become a political football, but it is a real virus. And if you catch the football, you'll find out what the virus is really all about. And so we need to stay vigilant. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But the point of the message is this: we cannot hide from COVID forever. At some point, we must get back to living, albeit with caution and wisdom. That if there's an outbreak here, as there has been in so many of our churches, that we will temporarily close back down and go back to online services until the COVID has gone out of our system. But just like with any other contagion, once the danger is past, we must get back to the business of the kingdom.
Amen.
If you've had enough of this deadly virus and all the division and hate that is flooding our streets right now, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
In Matthew chapter 23, verse 33, Jesus said, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape from being sentenced to hell? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all of the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus left the temple. I feel the Holy Ghost. Friend, I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus to leave the temple. But I want him to stay here. I want to sit with him at his feet and hear his teachings, feel his presence, be healed by his power, and know his love. Jesus left the building. What a terrible thing to say. What a terrible transitory moment in the nation and history of Israel. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all of these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Jesus, we pray to you today that as we speak with respect and humility and carefully during these treacherous times, that your word, the truth in the heart and the message of your word, would ring out true and loud and clear for all to hear today. And that those of us in this place, that everyone in this place, that have been tolerating things that we should not, have been compromising in areas where we should not, and have been feeling pressed down and helpless, would have a reviving of heart and a stirring of spirit, and rise up and say, "Enough is enough," before we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, if you want the Spirit to rise up in you with a godly passion, would you say amen?
Amen.
In our text today, Jesus is dealing with something that is deadlier than any coronavirus. And he is addressing a disease that would make the Spanish flu or the bubonic plague look like a simple sneeze. He is confronting the pandemic of sin at the highest levels of leadership in the Jewish church and in the Jewish government. And this may be the harshest thing we ever hear Jesus say. Friend, there is nothing worse than a nation whose leaders have fallen under the curse of sin. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the corollary or reflection is also true. Cursed is the nation whose God is not the Lord. There's nothing worse than a nation whose leaders are pursuing the lies that Satan has planted in their hearts and minds that have fallen under the curse of sin. Herod helped beautify the second temple, and some say it was more ornate than Solomon's first temple, and the Jews of the day were more than happy to oblige. Better be careful about going along with the crowd in this hour that we live in. No matter how expensive the paint or how pretty the color, if the surface has not been thoroughly cleaned, the paint will crack and peel eventually. And so Jesus comes into the temple just prior, and he pulls a Nehemiah and he ransacks the place, and he runs out the money changers, turns over their tables, and that place was full of people who were rotten to the core. No, not everybody there was rotten, and I understand that not everybody is bad, and not every Christian is evil, and not everybody has compromised. And Elijah found this out when he was on the mountain, and the Lord spoke to him, and he said, Elijah said, I am the only one left that is still serving you. Sometimes it may feel like you're the only one left doing what's right, but trust this today. God said to Elijah, I have 7,000 others who have not bowed their knee to Baal or kissed his big toe statue. And rest assured, there are churches and there are saints of God and there are men and women who are strong and solid and powerful in the faith.
Amen.
Today, right now, right here. When our leaders have fallen under the veil of Satan's lies. And Jesus warned them in this passage, how will you escape the fire of hell? How are you going to escape being judged and sent to hell? He warned them of a terrible judgment, and he warned them, and he was saying to them, enough is enough. God has had it up to here with you and your lies, your atrocities, your betrayals, your violence and schemes. And he is about to bring a terrible vengeance down on you that is going to make people's ears tingle, as it said for the prophets the first time it happened. It was about to happen again, and it would happen within 40 years of these prophecies. It's easy for us to say, and for them to say, oh, I would never do that. He said, you build up you beautify the sepulchres and the graves of those that your fathers killed. And you try to make yourself think to yourself and make everybody think that you're different than they are. But Jesus said, you're just like they are. You may say that I would never do that. But their present intransigence was identical to the previous generations who murdered one righteous person after another. Their hearts were already committed. All that was waiting was the forthcoming of the evil deeds that they had carefully hidden behind a facade, a pompous display and religious rituals. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 19, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were eating law. Not only would they not come to the light, but they would run from the light. And I'm going to say something here that may sound a little harsh today, but it is the truth. It's time for the pulpits in our churches to get back to preaching the truth. The backslid leaders and religious representatives in Washington, D.C., in the ivory towers of academia, will burn America down around us rather than repent and confess their sins and forsake their destructive agendas. They would rather die than lose their positions. And they will not speak out against the flagrant abuse of power or the appalling inhumanity and atrocities against the helpless. Just as Israel was about to be carried off, they would take their children and sacrifice them to their idols. Living, breathing, little innocent, helpless children. And we are living in a day just like that day. And God has had enough. And there is coming a judgment upon this world. He started with the church, amen, and he's challenging the church to get back to their first love and get back to their passionate worship and preaching of the gospel. And we need to hurry up and get there. We need to be there before the judgment starts to fall.
All right. Amen.
The message is clear in my mind. Americans no longer care for the truth. They are only interested in appearances, in building a parapet of lies to hide the filth they harbor in their homes and in their hearts. You say, "Brother Ron, that's pretty plain." Well, I'll just read to you what Jesus said. He said, "How will you escape the fires of hell from the way that you are acting and dealing? You are murderous at heart and you are killing. Every time you vote for certain candidates, you are agreeing with, and you are saying that it's okay to murder children. You are saying that it's okay to abuse power. All of these things, and there's so much more going on behind the scenes. And we just keep praying. God, I pray that you would expose the evil and the wicked and the darkness in Chicago. I pray that you would expose the evil and the wickedness in Fairfield, Illinois, in Wayne County. I pray, God, that you would bring down strongholds and reveal men and women who are moved demonically to do evil things. I pray, God, that you would move in Washington, D.C., in the White House, that you would turn out, amen, the evil men and women who are there to destroy this country and to run the Christians out and to shut down the churches and to shut up the preachers and to slam the Bible, shut it, burn everyone they can find. God, I pray that you would move them out, the ones in the Supreme Courts, amen, the ones in the Capitol building. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would expose the evil and that you would raise up godly men and women to stand in positions of power and turn this nation back to God. And as we've been praying those prayers the past year and a half, we have seen person after person, evils uncovered. Right now, as we speak, the Federal Bureau of Investigations is investigating Michael Madigan and all the people associated with him. In all the years, quote, he said to one of the previous governors, he said, "You come and you go, but I'm here, and I've got all the power." And they will threaten you, and they will threaten your family, and they will harm you physically and destroy you if you go against them. And every time I hear of a scandal that's been exposed, you know what I say? Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayers. Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayers. And I will keep praying those things. Jesus said was done in private, whispered in secret, will be shouted from the mountaintops. I'm sorry if this is plain today, but I've been putting it off. The Holy Spirit has definitely identified the time was not right to move into this portion of Matthew. But the Holy Spirit is clear. Now is the time.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
Yeah.
Our nation is turning into a bunch of bleeding hearts who crave safety and who loathe pain and or taking up the cross of Christ. They will champion compliance and uniformity and give their freedoms over to the demons who are scheming at every level of society. I say with Donna Summer and Barbara Streisand, enough is enough is enough. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Say it with me, enough is enough is enough. And we're not talking about unhappy and boring relationships that they were talking about. But maybe we are. Hallelujah. It's time to stop settling for half-hearted, amen, uncommitted, just relationships that are full of pain. It's time that we get back to falling in love with God, falling in love with one another, falling in love with the church, loving our husbands, loving our wives, loving our children, loving our community.
Yes.
It starts at home. It starts with me. It starts with you.
Yeah. Amen.
I wonder what would happen if Jesus was to show up at your house today. If He were going to inspect your heart today or inspect your mind, what would He turn over? What tables would He turn over? What things would He throw out of you who are supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit? Jesus warned the hypocrites, and the Spirit of the Lord is warning us today. God will only put up with these things for so long. He will only put up with abortion of the men for so long. Eventually, God is going to say enough is enough, and He will bring an accounting for all those innocent lives that have been destroyed. And God doesn't look at it and say, a baby was killed. But you know that? That's not what God sees. Because He doesn't see like we see. He's God.
Amen.
He sees what that baby would have become. He sees the things that He had planned for that baby to achieve in the world. He sees the children and the family members that would have come from that child. And He's not just going to require the blood of the baby at our hands, but all of the generations that were cut off, He will require it all.
Amen.
Church, we had better turn to Christ today while we can. He says in verse 37, how often when I have gathered your children together as hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing, it is time for us to lose those stubborn and obstinate hearts and fall upon the Lord's mercy. God told the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 3, verse 7. He said, the house of Israel is not going to listen to you because they're not listening to me. Coronavirus is a wake-up call. Amen?
Amen.
Another one of our great missionaries fell last week. Robert Frizzell. Been supporting him for years and years. He fell to the coronavirus. God is waking us up. He's talking to us. Are we listening?
Amen.
Anybody in this building today could get the coronavirus. You could be in a hospital on a ventilator. You could be dead in 2 weeks. Are you listening? God is speaking through all of these things. And He said, they won't listen to you, Ezekiel, because they're not going to listen to me. Because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Don't you know that? A hard forehead. When I was camping with these guys, we bent over to get something, and then another guy bent over at the same time, and we knocked heads. And I ran into all these Methodists on my trip. I don't know how many times I camped out with Methodists. And this guy's also a cognitive educational psychologist, and And we were having just great, interesting discussions, and he was laughing about, you know, Methodist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, and so we knocked heads. I said, "Oh," I said, "we're about to find out who's got a harder head, the Pentecostals or the Methodists." And he was rubbing his head. He said, "I think the Pentecostals have won this one." I didn't feel anything at all. Hallelujah. You've got a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. I wonder today where we are. I know it's hard not to get that way. I was talking to my cousin the other day, and she said, "I stopped watching the news. I stopped getting on Facebook." You know why? Because you've had enough of it. These people hate this group. This group hates this group. This group is right. This group is wrong. And it's some of the things, the memes that people are posting, they're going to have to change the name from meme to mean.
Right.
And yeah, some of it is funny. But it's mean. At some point, you're just going to get enough of it. You've got to break away from that stuff. You hear what I'm saying today?
Yes.
It's time to stop pandering to our flesh. Hallelujah. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. It's time to stop pandering to the flesh. Group of concerned parents and professionals have started a not-for-profit organization to fight against child trafficking and pornography. You know what their group is called? You'll never guess in a million years. Checking to see who's paying attention, who's listening to the preacher today. You know what their group is called, George? Enough is enough. The tearing down of the family, the tearing down of marriage, the tearing down, that's what it's all about. They said enough is enough. We are going to rise up and stand against this flood of filth on the internet and protect our children, make the internet a safe place. In the process, deliver men and women from this terrible, terrible slavery that has swept across our world as a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The Louisville Metro Department of Corrections, they said, "We've had enough of inmate recidivism. We've had enough of inmate drug addictions." And they formed an alliance and created a peer support program to use so that they, before they re-enter, to help with re-entry, a 90-day program that they, you know what they call it, Sister Ashley? You'll never guess in a million years. Enough is enough. It's time for somebody in the house of God to take a look in the mirror of the Word of God at your life and the way that you're acting and the way that you're living, and you need to look at yourself in the mirror and get in the altar and say, "God, enough is enough. I'm done with this sin. I'm done with this garbage. I'm done letting the devil rule and reign in my life. I'm done with the lies. I'm done with the carnal mind ruling me. And God, it's time for the Spirit to take control of my life again before it's too late."
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, you will be persecuted. Hallelujah. When I was on the only Zoom call that I've ever been on, and it was kind of cool, but Stacy had to tell me how to Zoom it. As far as I know, the only thing Zoom is when you Zoom something in and out. And I was on a call with the pastors in our community, and they were talking about the COVID and what to do. And I had my microphone muted. How many of you ever Zoomed before? So I had my microphone muted, and the administrator of the call kept sending me a message, "Turn your microphone on. Turn your microphone on." And Sister Jennifer, I was like, I'm leaving my microphone off. Hallelujah. I just want to listen, and I want to hear what we're just a little church. I want to hear what the big churches are saying. But it didn't last very long because one of the local pastors said, "Rob, what do you think about it?" Hallelujah. And I was like, "Well, here it comes." So I turned my microphone on, and I was like, "I'll tell you what I think about it. I think that it is persecution against the church." And you say, "Well, we're just going along and we're trying to be do what the church is supposed to do and obey the laws of the land, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." I said, "Well, I agree with all of that." But I said, "When you break from the group and you go back to having church services, you tell me if there's persecution or not." Our preachers have been thrown in jail in the United States of America this year for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in their pulpits because the government told them not to because of the fear of the virus. Pastors have died this year from the coronavirus. Evangelists and missionaries have died this year from the coronavirus because they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the face of a virus that was deadly. Amen. Well, that wasn't what you thought it was going to be like. You were expecting somebody to do this or that or the other. Will you preach the gospel in the face of death? Will you remain faithful to Jesus? Whatever comes down the road, we've got to keep preaching the gospel of Jesus and be faithful unto death. Say, "Well, Brother Bob, you don't understand." Yes, I do. My great aunt died of the coronavirus in New York City. One of our esteemed evangelists came down with the coronavirus. Your church, about 30 over 30 people of their church in Missouri got the coronavirus and had to shut their church down. And today his father-in-law is on a ventilator and he had to be put in the hospital himself for several days. Couldn't even get up and go to the bathroom. Couldn't even get up and go get a shot. Let me tell you something. The coronavirus is no joke. But hell is no joke either.
That's right.
Yes, you're going to face insurmountable obstacles. And yes, you could die defending the helpless and standing against sin. But even though we fall under Satan's curse, so long as we remain under Christ's blessing, if we go on to our reward, we go on to our reward. I wear a mask. I use hand sanitizer. Now I know how to put my beautiful face on the internet. We'll do what is appropriate and right. But after months and months and months of this church, and I appreciate y'all. Y'all here, ain't nobody with a mask on. Y'all got more faith than I do. Y'all brave. I want us to stand together today. When God is enough. Hallelujah. I said, and I'm talking to the church today. I said, when God is enough. In the book of Judges, Samson, the judge who had unusual strength, was a Nazarite, said there were certain things he was not allowed to do. He was not allowed to cut his hair. He was not allowed to drink wine. He was not allowed to touch any dead thing. And that was in addition to following the entire law of Moses. What did Samson do? He started sleeping around with Gentile women out of wedlock. Okay. What did you say, Brother Rob, was doing? Who's he with? What's he doing over there? And he started partying and getting drunk. Then he started touching dead things. And finally, he told his then girlfriend Delilah, "If you cut my hair, I will lose my strength." And the Bible says this. This ties in with our Sunday school lesson in the adult Bible class. He wist not but the Spirit left him. God had had enough. Delilah trimmed off the locks of his hair. She woke him up, and his Philistine adversaries were on top of him, and he shook himself like he'd always done, and he called upon his God like he always had, but he didn't even realize when God left the building. And there, he suffered the consequences of his actions. With his eyes poked out, blinded for the remainder of his life, chained and pushing a gigantic mill wheel, a big giant stone wheel that would mill down the grain. You hear what I'm saying today to the church. God knows what's going on in your life. Now might be a good time to do some cleaning up. Now might be a good time to do some straightening some things. Now might be a good time to say, you know what, that's enough of that. Well, you know, Brother Robin's famous for one thing. How many of you know what a countersink is? When you're driving a nail, how many of you know what a countersink is? I found these Torx screw bits and these ceramic, ACQ ceramic coated Torx screws in Ronnie. I got my nice Milwaukee drill. You can drive those things. If your bit's long enough, you can drive them right through a tube of hair, all the way through. It's one thing Brother Rob is famous for, Brother Philip. I walked out of the campsite and I said, then I walked back in the campsite, looked around one more time. I said, I'm just double checking. The guys, and they said, no, you're not double checking. You're triple checking. You already double checked. I come back by and put another knot on your head just to make sure that you got it. It's time to stand against the vision of hate. It's time to stand against materialism. It's time to stand up for the Bible and for the truth and for salvation, which is only found in Jesus Christ. You know, it just astounded me. You read the news media, and there's just a lot of stuff you don't see. And you hear about the tragic events that surrounded the death of George Floyd. And you can get snagged on all the negative. You can get snagged on all the bad things. And you've got bad cops. And you've got all these criminals. And you've got urban decay and violence. And all these people are rioting and pillaging and beating and doing all the stuff that's going on. But what you don't hear much is that churches stepped up to the plate. And they moved into the intersection where all the rioting was going on. They moved into the intersection where George Floyd died. And they moved in there and they brought a baptismal tank. And they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they said, enough is enough what's going on in here. What the community needs is Jesus. People have been getting saved and baptized and filled with the Spirit. My dear church, where are we on the spectrum of what's going on right now in our society? It's time to stop pandering and calm mind. It's time to rise up and skip. This is our hour. This is what we're called to. We may be called to do different things. We may be called to intervene in different ways. There's a worship leader in California. He's took the church out of the church, and he's traveling across the country with a giant worship team. Wow. If the protesters can protest in the streets, why can't Christians worship in the streets? And that's what they're doing. And all these people that are so hurt, all these people that are so beat down, and all these people that have been through so much, they're going into these darkened communities, these urban areas, and they are bringing the praise of Jesus out of the church into the street. And people are being delivered and set free from Satan's bondage and lies. Enough is enough, church. Let's lift our hands together today and let's begin to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, show us the areas of our lives where we have fallen into sin. Show us the areas of our lives where we are pandering to the flesh. Cleanse us and clean us and make us new. Restore the joy of salvation. Renew a right spirit inside of us today. And lay a passion on us, God, to not just whine and complain about what's going on in our world, but put a burden inside of us. Give us a vision, Jesus, a passion to preach this gospel to diverse communities and diverse places and in all kinds of ways to manifest your love and your power. If our communities ever need a church before, they need the church to come. Come in and clean up the mess. Drive out favoritism from our hearts, God. Drive out, Lord Jesus, our opinions and all of our own thoughts that exalt themselves against you. Let them all come into subjection to you, Jesus. That we can stand in you, Jesus, and in your truth.